Friendship was something I always cherished more than anything else in the world. I met Paul in high school, and since then, we have always kept in touch. He worked as a pizza delivery guy, and I had a boring job at an electronics store. We would always get together with other friends to watch TV shows or go to the movies and watch movies. We might not see each other as much as we used to, but I still consider him to be one of my best friends. So when he said he needed a favor, I didn't hesitate to help him. I was getting ready to watch a horror movie marathon when suddenly I got a call from Paul.
Hey, can you help me? My bike broke down and I have to make some deliveries. I don't want to tell my boss. I've already told you how he is.
Sure, where are you? After he gave me his address, I immediately went looking for him. Paul had told me enough about his boss. He was a man with very little tolerance who did not hesitate to fire his employees at the first sign of inefficiency. He always considered them replaceable, so he didn't mind being really cruel to them. Knowing how badly Paul needed the job, I knew I had to do him that favor. I picked him up at the corner of his house, and we loaded the pizza boxes into the trunk of my old car. The first few deliveries went quickly and smoothly. Everything was going well until we arrived at the last house of the night.
This is the last order. It's a bit far, but I'll buy you some beers later.
The address took us to the outskirts of town to a big old house that looked like something out of a horror movie. It was surrounded by trees, and the only light came from a lamp on the porch. Paul got out of the car with the pizza in hand.
Wait for me here. I won't be long.
Time passed, and Paul did not return. I began to feel uneasy. I decided to wait a few more minutes, but I started to worry. Finally, I got out of the car and approached the door. I knocked several times, but no one answered. The door wasn't locked, so I pushed and walked in. Hello? But no one answered. The inside of the house was even more frightening than the outside. The walls were covered with strange photos and newspaper clippings. There was a foul smell that made me cover my nose. I cautiously moved forward, calling out to Paul over and over again. When I reached the kitchen, I saw the pizza box lying on the floor open. One slice was missing, and the rest of the pizza was scattered on the floor. Something was very wrong here. I paid attention and noticed a thud coming from the basement. My heart began to beat faster. Paul was certainly in danger, and if I took the liberty of calling the police, he could die before anyone did anything. I had to take matters into my own hands and do something on my own. I looked for a knife in the kitchen. I opened a drawer, and luckily, there were several. I grabbed a knife and prepared to go to the basement. But before I could react, someone was in front of me. That person put a handkerchief on my nose and started to squeeze it. I tried to stab him with the knife, but he grabbed my hand very hard. With every second that passed, I started to get sleepy. Very sleepy. In a matter of seconds, I had run out of strength to fight, and I ended up falling asleep. I woke up tied to a chair, the pain pulsing in my head. The room was dark, but I could make out Paul beside me, also tied up and with a terrified expression on his face. In front of us stood a man, the same man who had attacked me earlier. The man was burly and quite tall. His gaze seemed immediately intimidating to me. I didn't know him. I didn't know anything about him, but just the sight of him terrified me. Although if at that moment I had known who that man really was, the terror would have been different.
Welcome to my home. It seems that today I have two special guests, right?
His smile made my blood run cold. The man began to talk in a casual manner as if we were having a friendly chat. Paul and I were paralyzed with fear.
Well, enough about me. I'm sure you're wondering why you're here, right? The answer is quite simple. You're going to die. I'm going to eat you, and as long as I do, you'll always be alive. Do you know why? Because the only thing that gives me more pleasure than eating human flesh is to see your face full of fear, knowing that I'm going to do it. The face they make before they die is something that drives me crazy. Well, having said that, I have to decide who goes first. To tell you the truth, you were always the original plan. Plus, you went in first.
Please,
Don't do it.
Paula began to cry and beg, but I could see how this only made the kidnapper more excited. In front of me, without any hesitation, the man began to mutilate Paul with a small knife. Paul's screams echoed through the basement, each one more heartbreaking than the last. The horror I felt in those moments is indescribable. I wanted to close my eyes, but fear had me paralyzed. I didn't want to see it, but I couldn't help it either. The man enjoyed every moment. With each passing second, he cut Paul with more emotion. The room had a horrendous smell of blood, and out of nowhere, the man dropped his knife and started eating chunks of flesh from Paul's belly. The man was taking grotesque bites, chewing noisily, his face stained with blood and an expression of sadistic delight.
Help! Somebody help me!
You know, I don't need to do all this. I am a very civilized person, not an animal.
But your scary face is simply priceless.
His words were an additional torture. Every second was getting longer. Every drop of blood that made my heart beat harder. I felt like I could die of fear at any moment. If at that moment I could have stopped my own heart or taken my own life, I would have done it. Anything would have been better than running to the same fate as Paul. Adrenaline started pumping through my body. I felt the rope on my wrists, and I noticed it was looser than the psycho had thought. I began to work on it in desperation as he continued to eat my friend. Desperation gives your friend a special flavor. This one has a lot of will to live. I can feel it. But he already knows that even if he gets immediate medical attention, he's already dead. While the psychopath was talking to me without looking at me, I managed to free one hand. My breathing was rapid and shallow. I slid my hand down the rope and released the other. I didn't have much time. I saw an iron bar on the ground, probably forgotten by the psycho. I grabbed the bar and slowly got up, trying not to make a sound. The man had his back to me, still engrossed in biting Paul. With all the strength I could muster, I tried to hit his head with the bar, but he dodged it. Instead, I hit Paul, who was looking at me, confused and still crying. Do you think I didn't realize you had broken free? I told you I am not an animal. I'm more observant than you think.
Please, call someone. I don't want to die.
Do you want to do this? I warn you, I have done it many times. Your friend is already dead, and you know it. Without listening to the man and hoping to save Paul, I lunged at the psycho to fight him. But in one swift move, he grabbed the metal rod out of my hand and pulled it out. Immediately, he began to use his same metal rod to beat me to the ground. The pain was insufferable. He was using all his strength to hit me, but none of the blows were in a vital area. He was torturing me. Just when I thought I was going to die, I felt a loud bang behind me. It was Paul. He used all his strength to throw himself with a chair on top of the man. He barely grazed the man, but it distracted him long enough for me to get up and run away in pain. The man had quickly got behind me, but that few seconds head start was enough for me to slam the basement door in his face and squeeze it shut to keep him out. After a few seconds, the man tried to break down the door. I heard his footsteps leaving the stairs. After a brief silence, I heard a muffled scream and a meaty noise. The man had returned with Paul to continue eating him. I ran to my car and sped off as fast as I could. As I drove away, I called the police and told them everything. They had to come as soon as possible and save my friend. But as the psycho said, it was too late for him, and I knew it. When the police arrived at the scene of the crime, they found Paul's body, but they did not find the criminal. The man was not arrested until years later when I recognized him myself. His name was Nathaniel Barjona. Aside from Paul's death, this man was charged with multiple homicides and cannibalism. When I read the cannibalism label, I was terrified. Paul had not been the only one. He had just been one of the crowd. From that day on, I appreciated my boring job at the computer store more than ever. The idea of going to other people's houses to deliver pizzas terrified me, and I don't understand how anyone can do it.
Every night I go to sleep thinking about Paul. His look, his screams, his energy. He was full of life. He wanted to live until the last moment. I know the best thing I can do to honor this is to keep living. At least Nathaniel was arrested. You could say justice was served.
This story is based on the crimes of Nathaniel Barjona, a shocking case that occurred in Montana in the late 20th century. Barjona was accused of kidnapping, murdering, and possibly cannibalizing several children. His modus operandi included gaining the trust of victims and then committing heinous acts. He was arrested in 1999, and during the investigation, disturbing evidence was found, including cooking recipes that appear to refer to the preparation of human flesh. Barjona was convicted and died in prison in 2008, leaving behind a legacy of horror and speculation about the full extent of his crimes.
I'm going to be honest from the beginning. I'm not one of those people who likes to compare myself to other people. Everyone has a past, and not all of us have the best memories of it. Although, if I have to be even more honest, I admit that mine is usually much more complex than the rest. You see, when I was younger, I was homeless for many years. My parents had died when I was young. I went from orphanage to orphanage, foster home to foster home. When you hear this, everyone thinks I was trouble. But I was not. I had very bad luck that everywhere I went, I was terribly mistreated. At a certain point, I simply decided to run away and live on the street. On the street, I not only learned to survive as best I could, but I also learned something much worse. I told myself that I had hit rock bottom and that nothing could be worse. But if there is one thing life teaches you, it is that you can always get worse, because misery is a bottomless pit. Do you know when I learned that? When apart from being on the street, dirty, cold, and very hungry. I met a young man who seemed to be just a nice pizza delivery boy, and he turned out to be Chester Turner, one of the most dangerous killers of women in history. When I met him, I was on the street, as I was every night. The cold was freezing my bones, and I was very hungry. I had nowhere to go and nothing to eat. I sat in a dark corner, hoping that the night would pass quickly. In the daytime, I would probably be hungrier, but maybe I could find food, and at least it wouldn't be so cold. I curled up in my shabby coat, trying to keep what little warmth I had left. Suddenly, I saw a man approaching. He was wearing a pizza delivery man's uniform and carrying a box in his hand. He approached smiling, and I immediately thought he had a nice smile, but I was obviously wary of him. I really wasn't used to people approaching me with good intentions, and unfortunately, I wasn't far wrong. "Hi. Are you hungry?" My stomach was twisting with hunger and the smell of the pizza was tempting. I hesitated for a moment, but finally accepted the box gratefully. I remembered thinking that maybe I was being exaggerated, and yes, there are good people who do things for charity. "Thank you so much, really." I set the pizza aside to eat it when the man left. I was very hungry and I was ashamed to eat so desperately next to him. I waited a few seconds for him to leave, but he still wasn't leaving. He was still there, looking at me with a strange smile. Time seemed to stand still as we looked at each other, and I began to feel a knot in my stomach that had nothing to do with hunger. This man made me feel very uncomfortable.
"Don't worry, you can eat it. It's free."
I smiled at him, waiting for him to leave, but he was still there, looking at me, waiting for me to eat. I felt that something was not right. His insistence made me uneasy, and his gaze was getting more and more intense, almost obsessive. "Hey, I think I'll eat it later. I'm a little embarrassed." At that moment, the man's smile suddenly twisted into a grimace of frustration.
"Don't be ungrateful! Eat now!"
His voice was sounding higher and higher pitched, almost desperate. "Hey, I think I'll eat it later. I'm a little embarrassed." At that moment, the man's smile suddenly twisted into a grimace of frustration.
"Don't be ungrateful! Eat now!"
His voice was sounding higher and higher pitched, almost desperate. The tone of his voice made me shiver. Why did he care so much that I ate the pizza? I felt a shiver run down my spine. "I'm grateful. I'm really going to eat it later."
"I told you to eat now."
I backed up a few steps, but he quickly advanced and grabbed my arm.
"Let go of me!"
I tried to let go, but the force of his grip made me stagger.
I told you to eat the damn pizza!
The man grabbed me tighter and tighter. My arm was starting to hurt a lot. The blood wasn't even getting to me anymore. I tried to act fast, and with my free hand, I threw a punch to his face, making him release me momentarily. I took advantage of that instant and ran away without looking back. I heard him behind me, his footsteps echoing in the night. I ran as fast as I could, feeling my heart pounding in my chest. I didn't know where I was going. I just wanted to get away from him. I found an abandoned building and jumped in, hoping he wouldn't follow me. But I was wrong. I heard him come in. His footsteps were echoing throughout the building. I hid in a small room, trying to control my breathing. I heard his footsteps approaching, getting closer and closer. My heart was beating so hard that I was afraid he might hear it. Meanwhile, he was still walking. He was coming in my direction. Had he seen me? No, that was impossible. Of all the rooms, it was impossible for him to know I was in this one. Just in case, I closed the door softly and ducked behind an old desk, trying not to make any noise. I heard his footsteps approaching, getting louder and louder.
Come on, I know you're here. Your feet are very dirty. I can see your dirt tracks.
Damn it. It was true. I had left footprints when I entered the room. He was going to find me.
You don't have to hide. I just want you to eat. Don't you like pizza? Everybody likes pizza.
My heart stopped when I heard the door slowly open. I held my breath, hoping he wouldn't see me. I felt his eyes roaming the room, searching for me. He moved slowly, inspecting every nook and cranny. Every step he took towards me was a hammering on my nerves. We were only illuminated by moonlight, but that was enough for the man to know where to look for me. I closed my eyes for a moment, praying he wouldn't find me. Suddenly, his face appeared in front of me. I screamed and tried to run, but he grabbed my arm tightly.
I told you to eat.
The psycho had thrown me violently against the wall. I felt the pain run down my back, but I didn't let it paralyze me. I struggled with all my strength, trying to free myself from his grip. I managed to knee him in the flesh, and he screamed in pain, releasing me for a second. I seized that moment and ran up the stairs. I knew that if he caught me, I wouldn't get out of there alive. I entered a room and closed the door tightly, trying to find something to lock it with. I found an old chair and put it against the door, hoping it would be enough to stop him.
I've had enough of you! I won't give you my damn pizza anymore! You know how I'll put you to sleep? I'll smash your head against the wall!
As the man screamed, I looked around, looking for a way out. There was a window, but it was too high to reach. There was no other option. I would have to face him. I grabbed an old pipe from the floor and approached the door, waiting. The seconds took forever. I listened as he pounded on the door, trying to open it. I wasn't going to hold on much longer. The door would be open at any moment. Suddenly, the door burst open, and the chair flew across the room. He walked in, his face contorted in anger. Hiding behind the door, I lifted the pipe, my hands trembling with fear. I closed my eyes for a second, took a deep breath, and slapped it with all my might on the back. He staggered, surprised. I hit him again, this time in the head. He screamed in pain and fell to the ground, bleeding. He tried to get up to attack me, but quickly lost his balance and fell to the ground once more. I looked at the motionless body for a moment, making sure it didn't get up. I didn't wait to see if it moved. I ran to the window and started climbing out, my hands still shaking. I made it out and slid across the roof, looking for a way down. Finally, I found an emergency ladder and ran down without looking back. My heart was pounding so hard it hurt, but I knew I had to keep moving. I reached the street and kept running, not stopping. I didn't know where I was going, but I had to get away from that building, from that man. Finally, I found a small park and hid behind some bushes, trying to catch my breath. I looked around, making sure he hadn't followed me. I stayed there until I fell asleep, but the man never appeared. The next time I saw the man was on television. By that time, I had gotten a job and was slowly rebuilding my life. I was living in hotels, saving up for a place on my own, until my current husband told me to move in with him. Seeing that man on TV made me go back in time and remember that night. I could have survived, but I have great regrets about what happened. I should have stayed in the factory with him and killed him. How many lives would I have saved if I did? How much could he defend himself with a blow to the head like that? But anyway, despite my regrets, I don't blame myself for what happened. No one should have to experience what I experienced that night, to feel that fear. I must admit that at least I found some peace of mind knowing that this psycho wouldn't bother anyone else anymore. This story was inspired by the murders of Chester Turner, an American serial killer known for his brutal crimes in Los Angeles during the 1980s and 1990s. He is credited with at least 14 murders of women, many of whom were homeless or sex workers. Turner was nicknamed the South Los Angeles Corridor Killer because of the area where he committed most of his crimes. His victims were strangled, and their bodies were left in public places, creating an atmosphere of terror in the community. Turner worked as a pizza delivery man, which gave him the opportunity to move around different areas without arousing suspicion. This job allowed him to observe potential victims and plan his attacks more easily. Turner was arrested in 2002 on an unrelated sexual assault charge, but DNA evidence linked him to the unsolved murders. In 2007, he was convicted of 10 of these murders and sentenced to death. His case not only stands out because of the number of victims, but also because of the length of his criminal activity and the lack of early identification due to errors in the initial investigation.